next song is called Refiner's Fire, and it speaks to the heart. Sean, Brother Sean's going to be preaching to us this morning on the heart, so that's why I chose this song. This next song was requested by a dear sister who couldn't be with us this morning. She's at home taking care of her husband. So to Molly and to Danny, we love y'all, we miss y'all, and worship with us with this song.
So around me with the song.
seated.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. This week we got to receive the blessing of God in the form of rain. It's easy to see in the world around us when we need rain, and it's easy to see the benefits of that rain. Things turn green, things grow. Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." I hope you're here desiring to be watered. I hope you want to grow. You want to be changed. It's easy to see in the world around us when water is needed. Do we see it in our souls, our spirits, our lives, when we need water? Do we desire to grow as much as we desire the crops to grow? We will hear the word preached this morning. We've already worshiped, been taught. Hopefully, we will grow. It will benefit us. We will be changed. Our offering this morning is for Rosedale Bible College. Invite the ushers forward. Dear Lord, we thank you for another week, another beautiful day, a day when we can focus on you, we can be changed, we can let you work in our lives in special ways. Lord, I lift up Rosedale Bible College and the conference. I pray that you would do a great work there. I pray that the teaching done there would be in your name and in truth, leading young people towards you and preparing them for a life of service to you. Pray that you would bless the offering that's given this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Turn with me in your Mennonite hymnals, the red hymnal, to number 14. O come, loud anthems, let us sing. Number 14 in the Mennonite hymnal.
Oh,
Sean's bringing our message this morning. Looking forward to that. Dear Lord, we thank you for Sean and his willingness to be up here and proclaim your word. Thank you for the impact he has on this church, the blessing he is to so many here. Pray that you would calm his nerves, give him confidence in the words you've given him, and block any spirit that would seek to block you and your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chester. Good morning. Before I get started this morning, I want to make some announcements for the Sunday Evening Planning Committee. That way I don't have to get back up here after this. So tonight at 6 o'clock in the basement, we are meeting to hear testimonies. It's from Sheldon Yoder, from Jeremy Zimmerman, and Amy Heatwall. Bring finger foods, snacks to share, the drinks will be provided. Come expecting to hear, to be moved in your heart by other people's stories, which is ironic because it leads us right into our lesson today of what's in your heart. It's going to be from Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Again, that's Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. Then some Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jerusalem, to Jesus from Jerusalem, and they asked, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and they asked, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Lead them, for they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain this parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked him. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into someone's stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts: murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." So today we're going to continue our study in Matthew. And previously, Mike had preached the last part of chapter 14. And this would have been after Jesus, they got in the boat, was in the storm. Jesus walked on water. And then it says the wind and the storm was calmed. But after that, his disciples would have landed in a place called Gennesaret, where the crowds rushed to him. They heard about him getting there, and they ran and they told the surrounding area, and they all come to him, and they brought all their sick. Scripture tells us that all who touched the edge of his garment were healed. Jesus' ministry was gaining a lot of momentum at this point. It was drawing people from all around. But his growing influence also drew opposition. This brings us to today's passage, where an official delegation of scribes and Pharisees arrive from Jerusalem, which would have been the center of Jewish religious power and authority. This wasn't a casual visit. It was an official delegation sent to challenge and to discredit Jesus. To understand the weight of this moment, you could think of Jerusalem as the Vatican for the Roman Catholics, or in a political sense that we would understand more like Washington, D.C. And can you imagine, stop and think, what would it be like if black SUVs showed up here and men in suits and earpieces, they come and they stood and they were looking around and keeping an eye on us? What would you think? It would be a big deal. Their presence, the Pharisees' presence, this signified that this was a formal challenge to Jesus. It wasn't just idle curiosity. So, who were the scribes and Pharisees? The Pharisees were a prominent Jewish sect known for their strict adherence to both the written and to the oral law. Their name comes from the Hebrew word meaning the separated ones. It reflected their focus on purity and religious exclusivity. The scribes, they were professional scholars. They were experts in the law of Moses. Their role was to transcribe, to study, and to interpret the scripture. For these religious leaders to make this journey, it was approximately 90 miles going from Jerusalem to Gennesaret. This was no small matter. I don't even want to travel 90 miles in a vehicle. I can't imagine how rough this trip must have been for them. They weren't just coming to learn. They were coming to challenge him. But instead of recognizing all these miracles that Jesus was performing, the blind eyes were being opened, the lame were walking again, the sick were being healed. Instead, the Pharisees, they come focused on their law. They come to complain. They came to accuse. They say in verse 2, your disciples don't wash their hands properly before eating. This wasn't about hygiene. It was about ceremonial washing. According to Jewish oral traditions, hands had to be purified before washing because one might have unknowingly came in contact with something unclean, like a Gentile or an impure food at the market or whatever. The traditions of the elders, also known as the oral law, was a collection of teachings and interpretations developed by Jewish religious leaders over the generations. These traditions were meant to build a so-called fence around God's law, something that would protect them from ever getting close to breaking the law of God. Later on, after Jesus, thousands of these traditions would have been recorded in a book called the Mishnah. If you want to go explore that, it's interesting. The Pharisees, in particular, were strict about following both the written law and these oral traditions. They believed that these additional rules would help protect and help maintain purity and holiness among the people of Israel. It was a system of self-righteousness and about what they could do in and of themselves to be clean. They thought that doing everything right on the outside was what made them clean on the inside. There were many, many detailed rules about hand washing. There was specific amounts of water to be used. There was a certain way that the water had to be poured from a certain kind of pitcher. A certain amount of the hand had to be wet. It was very detailed. The list goes on and on and on. There's hundreds of them. These rules were not about preventing sickness. As I said, it wasn't about hygiene. Most of us today wash our hands before eating because we understand germs and we understand hygiene, good hygiene. I'm pretty certain that Nick Shank, he washes his hands after walking the chickens, or at least I hope so. You see, we all understand that for physical health, we must wash our hands before we eat to protect us against disease. For the Pharisees, though, this was about spiritual cleanliness, not a physical health. And what's shocking is their misplaced priorities. Instead of being awed by Jesus' miracles. They nitpicked about rituals. Isn't that exactly what legalism does to us today? It makes us obsess over the small details while missing the very heart of God. These rituals become more important to us than a relationship. To lead into Jesus' response to them, I think it's important to remember that Jesus, growing up in this Jewish culture and listening to the rabbis and the Pharisees from little on up, would have known and understood this oral law inside and out. Maybe even better than them. I don't know. It's also important to understand in verse 5 what it means to have things devoted to God, or the word associated with the traditions of the elders. And that word was korban. The term korban comes from the Hebrew word meaning a gift or an offering consecrated to God. In Jewish tradition, anything that was declared as korban was considered irrevocably dedicated to the temple and to God. However, this practice became very problematic when people used it as a loophole to avoid their responsibilities, particularly the command to honor their father and mother, to care for their father and mother, their parents. A person could declare their wealth, their possessions, as korban, and it was set aside for God. However, they weren't required to immediately give it to the temple, allowing them to continue using it for personal stuff while avoiding obligations, like supporting aging parents. This manipulation of religious tradition contradicted the very heart of God's law, which emphasizes love, justice, and family responsibility. It was a loophole that allowed selfishness to masquerade as devotion to God. These religious leaders claimed to protect God's law, yet they had built a system that actually led people away from God, all the while appearing like they were doing something good for Him. Jesus doesn't defend His disciples. In fact, since He was the disciples' teacher, it was a direct attack against Him. He goes on the offense. Instead of answering their question, He challenges them in verses 3 through 6. Jesus calls out the Pharisees for allowing this practice. He exposes how their traditions undermined God's commandments. Instead of honoring their parents, they were using religious vows as an excuse to neglect them. They were turning devotion into a selfish tool rather than true acts of obedience. Though it was done in the name of being reverent to God, Jesus is saying that they're breaking God's very law with their oral law. The penalty for breaking God's law of not honoring your parents, your father and your mother, it was death. It was a serious deal for Jesus to call them out on this. And we must ask ourselves today, am I surrendered to God, or am I creating loopholes to serve my own selfish desires while still looking good and spiritual? If any one of you find yourself in a position like this, repent. The day of grace is at hand. It's right now. Jesus calls them out again by quoting Isaiah 29:13. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are merely human rules. The context of the scripture in Isaiah was that he was speaking to the people of Judah. They were going through the motions of religion, but they had cold and they had distant hearts. They had empty traditions and they performed many rituals, but their hearts were still far from God. This was written roughly 750 to 800 years before this. And Jesus quoting this is a big deal. This wasn't just a new problem. People had been hiding behind their religious traditions for centuries, while their hearts still remained unchanged. For a rabbi to rebuke religious leaders in front of common people was unheard of. Public shame was a serious blow in their honor-based society. also remember in chapter 12, if we remember that, there's this story about Jesus. He was healing. He had healed the man with the withered hand on a Sabbath. And it says in this story that they began to plot his death from this point on. So these guys were looking for confrontation. And they kept, the confrontations are getting more hostile. It keeps building and building. By quoting Isaiah, Jesus was continuing to put their hypocrisy out for everyone to see. And then he gets to the true source of defilement. The Pharisees thought that defilement came from external sources. But Jesus corrects and exposes where true defilement comes from. In verse 18, it says, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles a person." Sin originates from within. It's not about what we eat, about what we touch, or what we encounter externally. Evil thoughts, immorality, deceit, pride, all these flow from our hearts. This was a radical shift for people so focused on outward purity that sin does not begin with their hands and washing them. It starts within their hearts where no one can see. But God sees. This truth is evident in the story of King David and Bathsheba. While standing on his rooftop, David noticed Bathsheba bathing below. And in that moment, these sinful thoughts, they entered his heart. And he had a choice in that moment. He could repent, he could turn away, or he could let his desires take hold. And tragically, he allowed his heart to lead him into sin. And this set off a chain of devastating consequences. It's the very same for us today. Proverbs 4:23 warns us, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it." The state of our hearts determines the course of our lives. If we do not guard them, sin will take root long before it manifests in actions. So, do we cling to tradition over religious or over transformation? The Pharisees, they missed the Messiah standing right in front of them because they clung to their religious traditions. Are we doing the same today? Are we going through the motions? Are we attending church, singing songs, reading scriptures, praying without ever engaging our hearts and missing the Messiah? Do we elevate denominational practices above actually pursuing Jesus? Do we honor God with our lips, but not with our hearts? Do we worry about outward appearance, more about outward appearance than real spiritual transformation? True faith isn't about checking boxes. It's about a changed heart. I would like to tell you a story about a man from history who was highly religious, but his heart was empty. John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement, was a deeply religious man from a very young age. He studied theology at Oxford. He led a group called the Holy Club and was devoted to prayer, to fasting, and to good works. He even became a missionary to America, hoping to spread the gospel among the Native Americans. Yet despite all of his religious devotion, he felt empty. He had no assurance of salvation. His faith was built on rituals and discipline. But yet he lacked a personal relationship with Christ. During his voyage to America, he encountered Moravian Christians, a group known for their deep faith. And one night, a violent storm struck the ship. While Wesley was panicked and afraid to die, the Moravians sang songs. And they prayed calmly. Their peace in the face of death shook him to his core. He realized that despite all of his religious efforts, he did not even know who Christ was. One entry into his diary from this time frame reads, "I came to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me?" Later back in England, Wesley attended a Moravian meeting. This would have been in 1738. And as he listened to a reading from Martin Luther's commentary on Romans, according to his diary, he says he felt his heart strangely warmed. And at that moment, he finally understood that salvation came by faith in Christ alone, not by his works or his religious rituals. God sees beyond our outward actions. He looks into the deepest parts of our heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look on the outer appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart." In the last part of the scripture today, Jesus makes it clear that the true source of defilement, the true defilement doesn't come from external sources. It's coming from within us. In verse 18 and 19, it says, "But the things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart, and this is what defiles them." This is the root of our sin. It's not about touching or eating, what we touch, eat, or encounter externally, but it's about what flows from us. Imagine two trees standing side by side. One is a healthy and deeply rooted tree. It's nourished by good soil. The other is diseased, and its roots are weak, and its branches are brittle. At first glance, they may look similar, but when the season comes, their fruit reveals the truth. The healthy tree produces vibrant and good fruit. It's nourishing. But the diseased one, it bears bitter and rotten fruit. Matthew 12:34 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Just as the tree reflects its health, our words and our actions reveal the condition of our hearts. If our hearts are transformed by Christ, our speech will reflect grace and truth and love. But if sin hardens our hearts, our words will expose bitterness, pride, and hypocrisy. Jesus here doesn't just expose the heart problem. He also warns of the consequences. Verses 13 and 14, it says, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." "Leave them alone, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, then both will fall into a pit." This is a serious warning. Every plant not planted by God will be uprooted. This means false teachings, empty religion, and even hypocritical leaders will ultimately be destroyed. The blind leading the blind, those who follow spiritually blind leaders, will fall into destruction also. Jesus is saying, if your heart is corrupt, if your faith is superficial, if you follow empty traditions instead of true devotion to Him, you will be uprooted. Are we being hypocrites? Do we honor God with our hearts and remain distant? Are we clinging to traditions instead of pursuing transformation? Do we go through the motions without ever truly surrendering to Christ? I would like to call you to a genuine and a heartfelt devotion to Christ and to His teachings. True faith isn't about us checking boxes. A heart truly close to God results in brokenness over our sin. Humility, repentance, love, obedience. Not just polished behavior. Praise be to God. Jesus doesn't just warn us and expose our need for heart. He offers us redemption In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. This is the cleansing that we need. Not a washing of our hands, but a total washing or a transformation of our hearts. This true cleansing can only come from Jesus. Another verse, Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Only Jesus can cleanse us from the inside out and remove that heart of stone and give us this heart of flesh. When we repent and we put our faith in Him, He changes us. And it's a journey that's going to last a lifetime. My final challenges to you today is, what does God see in your heart, right where you're sitting? Is it a heart that's been transformed by Jesus? Or is it hardened by sin? Are you truly following Him? Or are you just going through the motions? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You. We come before You in humility, knowing that You can see beyond our outward actions and into the depths of our heart. Thank You, Father, for Your unfailing love for us, despite our shortcomings. Lord, I ask that You would reveal to us the places where we have strayed. Expose the hidden sin, the pride, the selfishness, and the hardness that's within us. Bring to mind the things that we need to repent of. And give us courage to take appropriate action to deal with it. Cleanse us, O Lord. Create in us a new heart that longs for righteousness. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that word, Sean. Take out your Mennonite hymnal again and turn with me to 280. Pure in heart, O God. I felt this was a fitting hymn to sing after your sermon, Sean. I was reminded not only of what you said, but the words of Samuel. God does not look at the outward appearance, but He looks at the heart. Pure in heart, O God. 280 in the Mennonite hymnal.
Oh,
Thank you, Sean, for that message. Hopefully we haven't just cleaned up and dressed up to look good this morning, but we'll look clean the rest of the week. Time for announcements. If you've talked to me, you can come forward. I want to highlight tomorrow evening, Carolyn Landis and Lois Rhodes will be going to the jail. Let's remember them in prayer. So Miriam, you can go ahead.
Good morning. I teach for Weekday Religious Education, which is a ministry that Dayton supports financially. We teach Bible classes during the school day at local public schools. I heard about the need for teachers when Eva made an announcement at church 3 years ago, and it tugged at my heart, so I signed up to teach at Peakview Elementary and Cub Run Elementary. However, we have decided to homeschool our son next year, and I'm going to cut back to one school. So we are hiring, and if you are even a little bit curious, you can join me for our class this week. It is our last week of classes before summer. It is a part-time paid teaching position. It does not require a degree. Please reach out to me with any other questions. And lastly, would you pray that the Lord would provide a teacher by the fall and pray that he would continue to richly bless this important ministry that is teaching the gospel to thousands of precious children in our community each year?
Brandon?
Good morning, church. Just kind of giving a little bit of an update from the auction that we just had this week. Some of the items that were sold, the people come forward and wanted to offer a backup chance to the backup bidder that sold, and then just some straight up donations coming in. So all the stuff combined, we raised $330,000 and some change from everything. There was, I also just want to add, there was some companies and businesses and just people that come forward with just straight up donations. So we do live in a very generous community, and thanks to everyone who participated and helped us with this. That was an extremely successful event that now puts us over $1.4 million that we've raised. Thanks.
I also forgot to announce June the 1st, it's our softball cook-off event. That will be at West Rockingham this time. There is a sign-up sheet in the library, right, Ruth Ann? Thank you. And I will be sending out that message again. There's a link that you can click and sign up for that. Josh Petersheim, he's taking care of the softball again. It's going to be a fun time. And I didn't realize it, but I was talking to the guy at West Rockingham there, and he said that they added a pickleball court. It's the same guy that built the one at Purcell and EMU or wherever it's at. And he said it's a really nice one. So I know a lot of you like to play pickleball. So bring that as well, and we'll have a good time.
Thank you all, the Sunday Evening Planning Committee, for the work you're doing. This week is our week for our congregational prayer meeting, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Love to see y'all here, lift up the needs of the community around us. Also want to congratulate Ian, Arlene, and Alex and Leanne on the birth of their sons this past week, I believe, or recently anyway. So we'll be bringing in a number of new members here in a little bit. Let's stand for a quick prayer, and then I'll turn the time over to Mike. Dear Lord, I thank you for new life. Thank you for spiritual new life, physical new life, the blessing that is. Thank you for the journey of life, all the goods, all the bads that go with that. We lift up those experiencing hard times now, those who are dealing with physical problems and sickness. Lord, I pray that you would meet every need that they have. Help them to feel your faithfulness and your goodness in every way. Give them the strength to endure. Give them peace and the courage to trust you with every fiber of their being. Pray for those new children. Thank you for their safe arrival, and I pray that you would guide the parents and those children as they grow to serve you. I pray you would guide the rest of our service. Thank you for each member here, each person who participates in this church to make it part of your body. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's time to take in some new members. I wanted to read the vows just as a reminder that this is not just a formality this morning. I want to draw some attention to what is being committed to. So here it is. If you're a member here, you have said this or something very much like this. You're in agreement with this. And if you're not, come and talk to us if something's changed. Will you once again affirm your belief in God and trust in the sacrifice of Jesus as the only atonement for your sin? That is the I will statement. And I'm just encouraging each of you to look inside right now. Will you unite with Dayton in mission, worship, and service, being generous with your time, finances, and abilities as God gives you strength? Will you seek to grow in relationship and knowledge of the Lord, and will you grow spiritually with us, sharing in joy and sorrow, love and fellowship, and willingly give and receive counsel? Will you affirm that you are in agreement with our statement of theology, at peace with our statement of practice, and will you also affirm this morning that it is your desire to be led by the leadership here at Dayton Mennonite Church? There's 11 that are being taken in this morning. I'm going to invite all of them to come up and stand behind me. As they come up here, I just want to say, you know, the leadership here at Dayton, we are members first. We are in this with every other person. And the goal and the hope for membership, we want to be a kingdom church. We want to live out. You can come all the way down here. There's a pile. But we want to be a kingdom church. Being a member is not what saves you. It doesn't secure your salvation. But this is how we understand, and these are in agreement, of who God is and who God says we are and how we live that out here in the Dayton community. So I'm going to ask each of these behind me to introduce themselves and share just real briefly. And then we'll ask them those vows.
Good morning, church. I'm Carolyn Heatwall. I'm Dale and Gail Heatwall's youngest daughter. I have two siblings that actually come here. If you know Amanda Glenn, that's my sister, Amanda and Kenny, and then Dwayne Heatwall. He's my brother, that Dwayne and Toma Heatwall. Anyways, I'm very, very excited to be here this morning and just like be able to put my membership here. I've been visiting for like a couple months, started coming more regularly. I don't know, maybe in March or something. And yeah, you can just tell when you walk into this church, like there is just a passion for Christ and, just, yeah, focusing on relationships with Christ. And I love that so much. And I want to grow more, in my relationship with Christ, and very excited about becoming a member here. So thank each and every one of you. Very excited to make my church family here.
Good morning, church. My name is Cody, and this is my wife, Kristen. And we started to come to Dayton Mennonite around November of 2023. And we are extremely excited to become members with the greater focus to develop our gifts and abilities, serving skills within the church. We covet your prayers and accountability and are looking forward to being part of what God is doing with and throughout Dayton Mennonite Church. And one of my favorite verses is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I just feel like we're nothing without Christ. So just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Brandon Karakoff, and this is my wife, Kim. We were baptized here in January of 2021 and have been attending here since 2020. Over the years of attending here, we have felt welcomed, encouraged, and supported by everyone here, and especially the leadership team. Today, we're not just joining the church, we're committing to help serve along each of you as the body of Christ. We look forward to growing spiritually and serving in whatever way that God calls us. We ask that you pray for us and hold us accountable. As Galatians 6, 1 through 2 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves or you may also be tempted. Thank you.
Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Adrian Shirk. I was blessed to be raised in a conservative church. Gave my life to Christ in 2020 and was baptized just a month ago. I wanted to be a member of Dayton to identify, have fellowship with a body of believers. Also would like to have accountability from the church, and I would like to share a verse from Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lane Kugler, and this is my wife, Callie. We've been coming to Dayton for a while now, and we like the church and the people here. We're becoming members here today, and hope that we can be a help here and grow in Christ with y'all. Asking for y'all's accountabilities and prayers. Thanks.
Good morning, church. My name is Zachary Shank. My parents are Jason and Judy Shank. I started attending youth here when I was 15. I was going to Timberville Midnight at the time, and I was baptized there when I was 12. I started regularly attending about 2 years ago, and I have put off the decision of becoming a member because I was afraid, and it was the easy thing to do at the time. But thanks to pushing from friends, I've decided to make this decision and join you guys here at Dayton. I have always felt welcome by everyone here, and I thank you all for your impact you've had on my life. I desire to become a member at Dayton to gain the accountability that comes from being a part of a body of believers. And I ask for your prayers as I continue to grow in my relationship with each and every one of you and with Christ, more importantly. Jesus is King.
Hello, church. I'm Jared Wanger. My parents are Leonard and Annie Wanger. So I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. Taught to know Jesus when I was, you know, from little up, so I don't really have any epic come to Jesus testimony to talk about. I was baptized at 19, but due to growing amount of disunity in church I was going to, I quit going. Kind of went to random churches for 3 years or so, and started coming to Dayton in 2020, and it's, yeah. It's been too long since I've been a member of a church. During that time when I wasn't, I kind of felt the emptiness, you know, like something was missing. I've been wanting to become a member again. Just took some positive peer pressure, as Mike said this morning, for me to go ahead and do that. Anyway, I started coming to Dayton in 2020. I've been very amazed at the passionate love for Jesus that I see in the members and everybody here in the leadership. So I would like to become a member, and I ask for y'all's prayers to help or to hold me accountable if you see me going astray or whatever. That'd be greatly appreciated. Thank y'all.
Good morning, church. My name is Colby Nicely. As I'm sure most of you know, I've been attending DMC for quite a few years and was baptized on Easter Sunday this year. I always felt welcomed here by many friends and supportive believers. I feel that becoming a member here is a valuable step in, for me in my life to be held accountable and to continue to grow in discipleship for Christ. Once again, thank you to DMC for the prayers and support I've received recently in my life.
Well done. Hard part's over. I'm going to ask you these questions, these commitments that you're making, and you, if in agreement, can each respond with, I will. Will you once again affirm your belief in God and trust in the sacrifice of Jesus as the only atonement for your sin? Will you unite with Dayton in mission, worship, and service, being generous with your time, finances, and abilities as God gives you strength? Will you seek to grow in relationship and knowledge of the Lord? And will you grow spiritually with us, sharing in joy and sorrow, love and fellowship, and willingly give and receive counsel? Will you affirm that you are in agreement with our statement of theology, at peace with our statement of practice, and will you also affirm this morning that it is your desire to be led by the leadership here at Dayton? Thank you very much. You stay here. I'm just excited this morning. There's a lot of fear and nerves up here that was faced. And I heard faith over fear a lot as each one of these was met with. We talked with them, went through the theology in our practice. And I'm just excited this morning. If you have questions, I want to encourage you. We're here to have conversations with you if that's something you'd like to do. I'm going to have everybody stand. And they're gonna stay up here at least till we dismiss. You don't have to stay up here after if you want to run away. But I want to encourage you, if you want to make your way up, if you run into them, get to know them. Let's pray. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory without blemish and with great joy, to the only God of our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. You are dismissed.